In the early 1960s, I was given a copy of Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird. And instead of ten-pin bowling and beat nights, I developed an interest in the wider world. Scout and Boo Radley intrigued me. Her intimate narrative drew me in, and his character challenged me. John Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men next fueled my interest. Here, the characters of the two homeless guys, George and Lenny, whose complex relationship fires the narrative, engaged me. Their search for a place to call their own and the underlying sense that tragedy was inevitable kept me turning the pages. In some ways, I identified with these hobos. I lived in digs with my parents in one room. They were in a small bed and I was on a horsehair sofa. Several other men of different nationalities shared two other small rooms. There was one outside toilet for two houses and a landlady who robbed us all. But once I was under the covers, with a bicycle lamp to light the pages of my books, for a short time nothing else mattered. At high school we studied Jane Eyre, and I shocked my friends and teachers with my antipathy towards Jane and my sympathy for Bertha Mason. Whatever the reason, Rochester had married her, brought her from a home to England, then disapproved of her behaviour and locked her up. Yet she was portrayed as the monster. Rochester was a potential bigamist, Jane a potential adulteress, but because they were seen as civilised and Bertha was the black-skinned outsider with mental health issues, I was supposed to root for them. Like Bertha, Consuela Ramos in Marge Pierce's Woman on the Edge of Time is diagnosed with mental health problems, mainly because she hates the world she lives in, where the women around her are battered and abused and have no security. Her solution, and probably Pierce's, is to project her desire for a better world on a more egalitarian future. I'm sure my immigrant background is the nub of my attraction to characters that exist on the edge of things. They're distorted protagonists who offer a different take on reality, who see from the outside looking in, who don't fit. In Perfume, Patrick Susskind creates the ultimate outsider, whose sense of smell sets him completely apart. There's no redemption for Grenwy, the multiple murderer, but we're left with a question. If he had been loved in childhood, would things have turned out differently? Outsider literature was life-changing for me, and it's no surprise that my novel Pigtopia fits this mould. But there are no easy solutions to man's inhumanity, to man, to the way we isolate and shun those who don't conform to accepted norms. But what outsider literature often tells us is, no matter how cruel the world, there is always the possibility of redemption of one sort or another.